2 Kings chapter 3, war between Israel and Moab. In the 18th year of the reign of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, Joram, the son of Ahab, became king of Israel, and he ruled in Samaria for 12 years. He sinned against the Lord, but he wasn't as bad as his father or his mother Jezebel. So, in these records of the kings, you often see how things go, that the parents may be wicked and they may have a good son, or the parents may be wicked and they have a wicked son, or the parents may be good and they have a good son, parents may be good, they have a wicked son. And I think what that shows is that we are all free. We have got the freedom of choice. When we're little, we hear whatever our parents have to say, but in the end, when you get older, you become independent, and you choose to be baptized or not into Jesus. You choose to live a life in Christ or not. And that is how it should be, because otherwise it would sort of not be fair that if you're lucky enough to be born with good parents, well, then you're going to be saved as well. It's not quite as simple as that. Every person has got to make their own decision for God and for Jesus. So, Ahab and Jezebel, of course, are very wicked, although Ahab did repent right at the end of his life. And their son was wicked, but not as bad as his father and his mother. He pulled down the image his father Ahab had made for the worship of Baal. But like King Jeroboam, who was the son of Nebat, he led Israel into sin. So, the worst thing about sin is leading other people into sin. That, I think, in God's opinion, is the worst type of sin, where you lead other people into sin. That doesn't mean it's okay to just sin anyway, as long as other people don't know. But what it means is that we've got to be very careful that we don't do what the New Testament says is making another person stumble. So, King Mesha of Moab had sheep, and every year he used to pay a sort of tribute or tax of 100,000 lambs and the wool from 100,000 sheep, and he paid it to the king of Israel. But when Ahab, the king of Israel, died, 100,000 lambs plus the wool from 100,000 sheep. Now, lambs are just... Well, these are good... Well, no, there wasn't any money. It says 100,000 lambs and the wool from 100,000 sheep. But when Ahab died, Mesha, the king of Moab, rebelled against Israel, so he didn't want to pay all this money every year. Immediately, King Joram left Samaria and gathered all his soldiers, and he sent a message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Can you come and join me in fighting him?" "Yes," King Jehoshaphat replied, "I will. My men and my horses are yours. What route shall we take to go and attack him?" Well, Jehoshaphat had made this mistake before when the king of Israel, Ahab, had asked him, "Will you come and fight with me to get back Ramoth-Gilead from the Syrians?" We read that before. And because of that, Jehoshaphat very nearly died. And now he's having the same situation with Ahab's son, and he fails again. So you may have a temptation or a test from God, and you may fail it, and then it repeats to see if you're going to learn your lesson. And Jehoshaphat, it seems, fails again in this at this time. So we're very slow to learn. Anyway, King Joram and the kings of Judah and Edom, they all went out. After 7 days, they ran out of water, and there was none left, not for the men nor for their animals. King Joram complained, "The Lord has put the three of us at the mercy of the king of Moab. We are finished." King Jehoshaphat said, "Is there a prophet through whom we can ask Yahweh about this?" One of the officers in King Joram's army replied, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here." Now, he was the one who had been Elijah's helper and who had taken over from Elijah. "He is a true prophet," said King Jehoshaphat. So the three kings went to Elisha. But Elisha said to the king of Israel, "Why should I help you? Go and consult the prophets that your father and mother consulted." Well, those prophets were the prophets of Baal. You remember how Ahab and Jezebel worshipped Baal, and they had all the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. But Joram replied, "No, it's Yahweh who has put us three kings in this situation with the king of Moab." Elisha replied, "I swear by Yahweh that I would not even look to you. I would not show any respect for you unless it was for the sake of King Jehoshaphat being here. So bring me a musician." And this musician played on a harp. And Elisha received the power of the Spirit of God. And he said, "This is what Yahweh says. You must dig trenches all over this valley. Even though you won't see any wind or rain, this valley is going to be filled with water, and you and your animals will have enough to drink." Elisha carried on, "This is an easy thing for God to do. And he's also going to give you victory over Moab. You're going to take over all their strong cities, but you must cut down all their fruit trees, stop all their wells, that's put rocks down their wells, ruin all their fertile fields by covering them with stones." The next morning, at the time of the morning sacrifice, you remember the Jews had to offer sacrifice to God every morning and every evening. Water came pouring from the direction of Edom, and the ground was covered. When the Moabites heard that these three kings had come to attack them, all their soldiers, from the oldest to the youngest, had been summoned and were there guarding their border. But when they got up that morning, the sun was shining on the water, making it look as red as blood. They exclaimed, "This is blood, and the three enemy armies must have fought and killed each other. Let's go and take all the spoil from their camp." But when they reached the camp, the Israelites attacked them and drove them back. And then the Israelites pursued them, slaughtering the Midianites along the way and destroying their cities. Whenever they passed a field, every Israelite would throw a stone on it, until all their fields were covered with stones, and they stopped all their wells and cut down the fruit trees, until only their main city of Kir Hares was left, and the slingers surrounded it and were attacking it. When the king of Moab perceived that he was losing, he took 700 soldiers with him and tried to force his way through the Israelite lines and escape to the king of Syria, but he couldn't. So he took his eldest son, who was to be the next king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall, as a sacrifice to their god. What awful gods that apparently said, "I'll help you if you sacrifice your children to me." The Israelites drew back from the city and returned to their own country. Well, if they had carried on, they could have taken that city quite easily. But they didn't. And that's often what you see, that soldiers might, or an army might, almost win a war. They're getting on really well, and then they give up at the end. And it's that giving up at the end which is unfortunately a bit of a human characteristic. And to keep on keeping on to the end is something which as Christians we are to do, to not give up, but to keep on. So I think you see here how none of these people were particularly righteous. Joram, we're told, was a sinner, the king of Israel, but God still kind of gave them this victory for the sake of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was also not particularly spiritually strong. So the fact that God may answer a prayer doesn't necessarily mean that therefore we're okay with God. The fact God may use us to do his work doesn't mean that you're therefore good with God, because God uses all kinds of people. He uses even animals to do his purpose. Well, for example, God spoke to the whale and it spat out Jonah. or the big fish, I should say. You think of Balaam's donkey, who's given the power of speech. It says the donkey forbade the madness of the prophet. So then God works through animals and people. And that doesn't necessarily mean that those people are righteous. He worked through the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They were the sword in his hand, but doesn't mean they're going to be saved. So what God wants more than anything else is us to have a relationship with him, to pray to him, to be repentant, to be humble, and to all the time wake up every morning and say, God, I want to serve you. I love you. Please show me the way today.